Welcome to the Electronic Entertainment Expo Extravaganza, only on GamingUncensored.com.
It's E4. Hey, what is up? Welcome to episode 2 of E4 2017. I am Tommy. Jamie is sitting right over there. How you doing, man?
I'm good.
Good.
It's episode 2.
and it's the morning.
Yeah.
It's early, so.
It's early and we were up late and there has been no coffee or food of any kind and that seems dumb. That was our fault.
But here we are nonetheless.
There is coffee and food available. We just haven't had any of it. We learned something last night. A, you had to stay up late to see really good stuff. And B, we're old.
We are old.
We are old. Like, Jane would laugh if she heard this because I stay up late a lot. But it's hard to stay up late and focus.
Yeah.
Like that's kind of like I was trying to focus last night and it wasn't happening.
Yeah.
That conference was really late. We'll get to that in a little bit. But man, it's E3. We're here. It's Monday. This is the meat of E3 right here. We got like 8,000 shows planned today.
Yeah, today is nuts. We're doing the show right now. So hanging out on Twitch, and our boy Logan's here. So thanks for hanging out with us, Logan.
Yeah.
So we got a show right now. We also have a show at 6.
Yes.
Tonight, I believe.
I think so, yes.
Talk about the PC game show and Ubisoft. This show is going to be EA and Bethesda, by the way. We'll talk about those in just a second. And then we also have press conferences today. We have the PC show at noon. We have UB at 2, and we have Sony at 8. So it's a full day.
Yeah.
There's a lot going on.
That's a lot of stuff.
So we're going to be sitting here at the command center
yes.
all day watching stuff and talking to you guys. And it's gonna
and
be
that
awesome.
That is why yesterday we got a very, very large pizza.
Right.
With many, many slices.
20. 20 slices.
20 slices.
Yeah. We're not playing. It's an absurdly large pizza. Large pizza.
Yeah.
Just ridiculous.
I'm pretty sure Jane thinks we're insane. I thought we did
not that. Not entirely sure how she got it in her car.
She got it in my car.
Oh, yeah. She took your car, which is good because you have a van and it has room in it. Because that pizza box, legit, is massive.
Yes.
Like, I don't know how you get it out of door. It's huge.
Seriously, I don't know how she got it in the door.
Yeah.
Really big.
Yeah.
But we're eating pizza for, like, the next 3 days because... It's good.
It is good.
We have bacon and
pepperoni.
Bacon and pepperoni, yeah. That's
what's healthier than bacon and pepperoni pizza?
That's right. No, we need some alcohol to put on top of it.
There you go.
That's fabulous.
I'll take it.
So, we should get started because, as you said, we got a lot of stuff to do. We've got a conference to pay attention to at noon. So there's all kinds of stuff going on. So where would you like to start?
So we got EA and Bethesda. We'll start with EA. EA, of course, did their press conference on Saturday. Weird. They started super early this year, but whatever. That's cool. And so we'll go through what they showed off. A few cool things, a lot of fluff in EA. A
lot of fluff.
And then we'll talk about Bethesda, which you and I both really enjoyed. And yeah,
is Die Hard on the Twitter like right now? Because I don't want to get into an argument.
That's not how Twitter works.
Well, I'm just saying.
Fair enough.
We're still figuring this thing out. I'm trying to figure it out. I don't know.
Yeah. By the way, we're also being super fancy on Twitch. So if you want to come by and catch us live on Twitch, we're trying. We'll see how it works today. We're going to run some B-roll in the background as we're talking about some of these games. And so if you want to see what we're talking about, you'll be able to see some of that stuff too. So
fancy B-roll.
Right. We are super legit. So come check us out on Twitch. You can find the link for that at GamingUncensored.com in the E4 tab. So
some guy that has been live streaming for 20 years comes by, takes one look, laughs, and clicks off.
Yep.
Like, seriously.
Which is totally fair. But we're having a good time. So
So
EA. Let's talk about EA. They started with Montage, because that's what you do.
Yeah.
Everybody starts with a montage. Of course, EA has lots of good games. They have lots of good titles. They have good developers working for them, so there was some really sexy stuff in there. After that, a drumline came out, all in Patriots jerseys. So
yeah.
A little homage to the reigning Super Bowl champs. And, of course, that led into showing off Madden. And specifically, the kind of story mode with Madden. So they've done this with FIFA, and it had like blew up massively. Like, people love this story mode. There's always been a little bit of a story mode, but they made it really deep in FIFA.
Right.
And so it appears that they're doing the same thing or trying to do the same thing with Madden. It's called Long Shot. And so it's like following your character as he's coming up through high school, college, whatever, trying to make it to the NFL.
We can't make fun of this anymore because we liked it in NBA 20, 2K16.
Yeah.
It was really good.
Yeah. Like, really fun mode of the game.
Like, I didn't really, I never asked you what happened with the freak. you know,
I kind of forgot about the freak.
Yeah, well,
the freak was a big deal last year at E3.
I'm just curious.
I don't think I've touched him again. I think I let him go at E3. I kind of forgot all about the dude.
Yeah, you really need to fire that up and check on the freak because that, you know, I mean, I've been thinking about him, and that's the thing. That's what makes this.
Yeah.
So, you know, because I mean, up until now, it's been very contrived and very like, hey, look, here's a cutscene of you going into college,
right,
playing some games. Like, this is really well put together. So I don't mind seeing this in Madden or anything else.
I agree. I love this mode. I love this kind of idea for a video game. Because, like we've said over and over, you and I are big single-player experience guys. Madden is mostly a multiplayer experience game. Like, it's
right.
One you want to play with your friends in a room together online or whatever. This brings back a really heavy single player thing that's not just like play through a season as your franchise, which I do every year and I love. I enjoy Madden. But this is a new way to do it. And being Texas boys, it's very Friday Night Lights ish.
Yes.
It has that vibe to it. And
absolutely.
It's the world that we grew up in. And
it's football, dang it.
Yeah. high school football on Friday night is the world here. And so that's cool. Like, it's nostalgic in that way for us, too. And so, yeah, I'm really looking forward to Madden, which isn't something that I've said the past several years.
Yeah. And look, it's crazy that one mode can do that.
Right.
Because, like, the rest of it, they talk about all the little tweaks that they made, the motion, and how tweaked it is. At this point, we hear that every year. I don't care.
Right.
Give me one little piece of something that why do I need to play this? And right now, that story mode, okay, you got me. I'll pick it up. I'll play it. I'll see what there is to see.
Yeah, completely agree. It's a compelling reason to play Madden, which is something that Madden has been missing for a while. So, good on you, EA, for that. They also showed more Battlefield 1. So Battlefield 1 is out. This isn't something that's coming. It's already there. But they are releasing some new content for it that looks really cool. But before we get into the new content, let's just say, oh my goodness, we have to play Battlefield 1 at some point.
Yeah, we really do.
That game is awesome.
Yeah,
it looks so good.
The more we see it, and I've been sort of paying attention to it throughout the year, it's ridiculous. And this is a multiplayer title. We'll say again, we're not multiplayer guys, but this is a multiplayer title that we need to be playing.
Yeah.
Because, and I said this with Star Wars Battlefront, which we'll talk about in just
right.
a second here. There are parts of Battlefield 1 that I feel like I could do and not just get mowed down.
Right.
during the match. I mean, I could fly a plane. I could fly a blimp. There's all kinds of stuff I could do to just not get killed every 5 seconds, which for me is depressing. I just don't have the motor skills.
Right.
So that's why I really want to play it. I want to climb into a tank or a plane or something, you know, and have fun. And we really need to. I mean, this is like It's a completely different deal, but it's like on the World of Warcraft level. People yelled at us forever. They're like, gotta play it, gotta play it, gotta play it. We didn't. And then, like, we got in. It's like, holy cow, I gotta have all this stuff.
10 years.
And the thing with Battlefield that I can't figure out, I talk about putting Origin on my system yesterday. And I've looked, because the first thing I thought was Battlefield. You know, I could pick it up right here. We could be playing it during E3. But there's, like, 3 or 4 different SKUs of, like, I don't know what to buy. Like, they got...
Interesting,
yeah. They got Battlefield, and they got, like, Battlefield Ultimate thing. And, like, literally, there's, like, 3 or 4 different... different packages about Battlefield Season Pass and
right.
So like somebody needs to tell me what do I need to buy if we're gonna buy copies of Battlefield. What do we buy? What's important? What's not? I understand what a Season Pass is, but my question is, up to this point, is there any DLC that's worth having? So somebody let us know. On that, which Battlefield do we buy? And I'm ready. I'm ready to get into it and be sucked in for a while.
Yeah, I agree. And if I remember correctly, I'm looking it up right now. I believe that the DLC is free.
Then why do they have a season pass?
Right.
That's weird.
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah, they're free, but there's a catch. I don't know what it is.
Right.
So there's some level of freeness in there. I don't know. We'll figure it out at some point. So anyway, Battlefield 1 looks cool. And then they showed off new content that's coming that's called Battle of the Tsar that takes place in Russia. And so it's...
Russia!
It's all snowy and dark and desolate and awesome. And it looks super cool. I'm into that world for sure.
I love that they brought up Russia right now.
I know.
We got all this stuff going on. And I'm like, yeah.
Let's capitalize on that.
Yeah.
Fair enough. But it looks cool. It looks legit cool. So we need to play that. So showed off some esports stuff, which we don't do. And so,
you know, I said to you. I don't think there would be much that I would change about my life other than having good hands.
Yeah.
like if I had to still be in the chair but could have good hands and be like a competitive gamer, I think I would be all over that because it looks like so much fun and a great way to make a living. I mean, these guys play games 16 right. hours a day. Like, that to me, I think, would be a blast, but I just don't have it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, when you're trying to watch it, you're like, it's so fast. It's like, wait, what's going on?
Yeah.
I don't know what... So, that's one thing that if I could change my life, I totally would. You have the hands...
You did a lot more than that.
Yeah.
Functioning hands aren't going to get you there.
Yeah. these guys.
A level of skill that's ridiculous.
Yeah.
God bless them. And the people that are making money and doing this professionally, good for y'all. It's weird to me. It's still just a bizarre thing. By the way, one of the benefits of doing a live show is that when we screw up, our fans can correct us. So,
yeah.
Logan, this is, I confused Battlefield and Battlefront.
Right.
Because they're almost the same name.
Right.
Battlefront DLC is free. Battlefield DLC, not free.
Right. See, that's okay. That's
so
why
Battlefront
we have
DLC
pass.
Is free.
Okay.
Which is awesome, and we'll talk about that in a minute, because Battlefront also looks super cool.
Right.
Battlefield, not. So I don't know what it's going to cost. But anyway, other software, we saw a new Need for Speed called Need for Speed Payback. It's Need for Speed, and it looks fun.
And it looks like Burnout, which is...
It does look a lot like Burnout. They've kind of gone that direction recently, which is a good thing. It looks really fun. So, outside, it's got kind of story mode. They talked about 3 different characters, which I don't really get.
But I don't care.
There is a game mechanic where, like, you restore cars, which looks super
yeah!
cool. Like, find, like, old
junkers
in a field and pull them out and restore them and make them awesome. And
By
I
the
love
way,
that.
By the way, I know you've kind of sort of a little bit turned into a movie-going guy. Have you seen the last Fast and Furious?
I haven't seen, like, the last five Fast and Furious movies.
You got to see the latest one, because the latest one is better than the last two. I mean, it's really good.
Yeah.
But they took that whole, the car that they used, they took it sort of from the Fast and Furious, because they start in the Dominican Republic, and apparently Toretto's got a cousin or something that is racing in the Dominican Republic, but he has the slowest car on the island, and it's like it's just exactly like what they were modding, and I thought, I see ya. But yeah, that movie's great. You need to go check it out.
Fair enough.
But that, see, I have a point with all of this. And even somebody said that everybody in this genre is trying to capitalize on the Fast and Furious thing, because Fast and Furious just got huge, and it's massive. Like they've got like 9 movies, and everybody is still trying to capitalize on that. And I really feel like Need for Speed is trying to do some of that as well, with the 3 characters and the team-based stuff and the weird chatter, you know?
Right.
Like, that's...
We'll see if it actually works.
Right.
We'll see if it's actually fun. But even if it's just, like, letting me drive around and run into people and that kind of stuff, like we said yesterday, I'm not really into the Forza or Gran Turismo-type games where they discourage you from crashing. I like the games that encourage you to crash, like, encourage you to rub up against other cars. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're looking forward to that one. And so, and then we got a new IP, which was exciting, that's called A Way Out. And it's specifically exciting because it looks awesome. And so it's a prison break game. Like, it's a prison break game where you're working with a friend to...
Look, B-roll!
Right? We've got video happening on Twitch. It's amazing. You and another guy in the game, which is you and another person in real life, work together to try to break out of prison. It's from the guys who made Brothers, which is a super cool indie game that also had this, like, 2 characters that were interconnected. But this is where Brothers was really stylistic. This is very kind of more so on the realism side. It's much more photorealistic. Still has stylized components to it.
Yeah.
But it's designed, the way that the developer talked about, it's designed as a split-screen game. It is designed for split-screen co-op of you and a buddy sitting on the couch together, not designed as a co-op game you play online. He did say you can play it online, but that's not what the purpose of it is. The way that they vision people playing this game is 2 dudes sitting on, or 2 whoever, you don't have to be a dude, I suppose, 2 people sitting on a couch together playing it in front of their TV, which is super cool.
And obviously you and I are probably going to play it online.
Right.
But,
as will everybody probably.
But it's one of these that I'm looking at it and it just looks like fun.
Yes.
And it has some stuff that I haven't seen before. And for example, they mentioned the fact that one player could be in a cutscene, like he's getting processed into the prison, and the other player could be walking by on a catwalk, completely in control of what's going on and looking around, and like, that is cool.
That is cool. That is super cool. Like, it's just a cool mechanic for a game that hopefully works well. And that's a big question. There's no guarantee that it's going to work well. It may be super awkward.
Right.
But hopefully it works well and it's super fun. It's a genre that doesn't really exist in video games on a mass scale at this point, the whole, like, prison break thing. I think of The Escapist, which is this little indie pixelated title that's really fun. I just got it was on sale this weekend, so I picked up The Escapist Walking Dead. They did a Walking Dead thing with it, which is cool.
Right.
But it's a prison break sim where you try to break out of prison by, you know, sneaking around, figuring out the schedule, getting supplies, making shivs, getting into fights. Like, it's the whole thing. This is that, but not the weird pixelated thing. This is that with the full out, like, photorealism fun kind of.
Well, and I get excited about it because every time I see a game like this, I think about Riddick. That was one thing that was cool about Riddick was you're in Butcher Bay and there's ships and you're finding packs of cigarettes and selling those for various things and taking out guards and so on and so forth. That the aspect of Butcher Bay was part of what made Riddick so much fun for me. So I get really excited when I see something like this.
Yeah. Totally agreed. Logan makes a good point in the Twitch chat. This is a game you got to play with somebody you know.
Yeah.
This would not be a fun game to play with a random stranger.
No.
Like, this is, you have to have a buddy, somebody that you understand how they play games. It's like when you and I played through Portal on the co-op on Portal 2. I wouldn't want to do that with anybody I didn't know.
No.
It would be frustrating. It would be annoying. It wouldn't be that much fun.
And honestly, I know it was frustrating with me because I got the whole reflux thing. But,
sure, but I enjoy playing games with you.
Right.
Because A, I know you and you're my friend, and B, I can give you a hard time without feeling bad about it.
Yeah.
So it's fine.
Yeah.
Like, if you're playing this game and your partner sucks and you don't know him, you're just frustrated. Like, either you're mean and make fun of him or you're not mean and don't make fun of them and
right.
are just frustrated. You know, like it just...
And just rage quit.
Right, just rage quit, which would suck in the middle of that game if, like, your partner just bails on you. So, yeah, that one looks legit cool. Like, excited to see what they do with that. And so, big hopes for A Way Out. Hopefully it's good. It's one of those games that could suck and that would be sad. Hopefully it's good. So, they also showed off a little bit of Anthem, just a teaser there, and then we got into Anthem, obviously, in the Microsoft conference, so we've already talked about that. By the way, for Patreon people, there is a video up on Patreon of us talking more about Anthem with the trailer talk or the gameplay. And so if you're on Patreon, go check that out. If you are not currently supporting us on Patreon, that's a good reason to, and we'll be adding more content there throughout the day today. So
how cool are we?
I know.
Like, we're just doing multiple things. We're all in the future and it's 2017 and like, wow.
It's great. We love it. So,
yeah.
And then we saw Battlefront, not Battlefield, Battlefront, which is the Star Wars game as opposed to the World War I game. Battlefront 2, which looks legit cool. The one thing we didn't see that I would have liked to have seen was the single player stuff. They didn't show us any
right.
of the campaign. But they showed us multiplayer. They did a big demo of a big multiplayer campaign with like Darth Maul and Han Solo and Rey shows up for a little bit. And so it's like all of your like from all the different eras of Star Wars all combined together. Into this fight that happens. This is like episode one time period, episode two
right.
time period of Star Wars universe. But who cares? It's like just a big fight. But there's an objective. There's the two sides that are trying to accomplish different things, and it's big and it's pretty and all kinds of stuff. I'm not sure why on our
that
yeah,
because that happened
basketball.
During the conference.
Did
that,
it? I didn't
yeah,
remember
popped
that.
Popped up and the guy was like, "Yeah, there's NBA. We'll get back to that in a minute."
Good times.
But
yeah, smooth
EA. Yeah.
All that being said, I love Star Wars. Battlefront was a really fun game that was only multiplayer, and so it had that limitation to it. I think if you can get me hooked on a single-player experience, it's going to make me a lot more prone to play your multiplayer. If all you give me is multiplayer, it's hard for me to pick the game up.
I'm watching this, and I'm telling you, if there is a single player in this environment, I'm in. All over that all day. We love Star Wars. And we were talking about Battlefield earlier. This is Battlefield with a Star Wars skin.
Right.
Like, it's not quite as polished as Battlefield 1, I don't think.
Yeah.
But this is Battlefield with a Star Wars skin, and I love it. Give me content that's good. Like we said, we don't have enough friends to get together and have a 16 or 32
right.
man battle. We just don't. We have enough people listening to the show. We could probably pull it off.
Right.
But So if you give us good single player content that will walk us in, and that's a huge, we keep talking about it, that's a huge deal for us. I've been talking about the fact for the last couple of months that I'm limping my way through Max Payne. And part of the reason that I'm struggling so much with that is the story's all right. Like, it's just sort of all right.
Yeah.
Like, I'm kind of getting to the point where I'm 10 or 15 hours in. I'm like, okay, can we wrap this up? And I still got, like, 5 chapters left. And so the thing about this, watch how I'm going to bring this back around. It's the Star Wars universe, which we love. We've had 2 good Star Wars movies. Rogue One was awesome.
Amazing.
And we have a new one coming out this year, which I'm excited that it's going to be good. So you put us in this universe with a decent story that encourages us to get in it and stay in it for a while, because we're the guys that we're going to boot it up, play a couple matches, and go, well, that's cool. I don't really want to go back.
Yeah.
So that's all you really got to do. I mean, you slap Star Wars on it, give us some really good-looking environments, and these are really good-looking environments.
Yeah.
And a good story, and I'm good to go.
Yeah, totally agree. And we already know some of the details about the campaign, where it's
That's
female protagonist, and it's the Empire right after Empire, or right after Return of the Jedi, and lots of cool stuff. And so, yeah, hopefully it's cool. Hopefully it's exciting. Hopefully the single player is fun.
Right.
That matters. So we'll see what happens with that. So our stream crashed. So
yeah,
apologies, Logan, if you're listening to the podcast now.
that
we lost you.
Yeah.
But you know, it's life and tech happens. And so all the best laid plans. So
I kind of freaked out there for a second because I'm looking at the monitor going, not happening.
Yep. Suddenly computer's restarting. So
yeah.
Good times. We're going to press on. We'll try to get it back up and running here in a moment. So that was EA.
Right.
Which was cool. It was they had really good games that they didn't present in the best way.
No.
Because a lot of games, Battlefield 1 looks awesome. Granted, it's already out, but still looks awesome. Battlefield 1 looks awesome. Battlefront 2 looks awesome. A Way Out is super intriguing. Madden story mode's fun. Like, lots of stuff we're excited about. But they did this half hour of Battlefront at the end of the thing that, after a little bit, wasn't that fun to watch. Like, it was cool, but like, you could have showed us some other stuff in a cool way. And so overall, the press conference presentation wasn't the best, but the games were pretty cool.
And I want to hear from some people to kind of know if this is just us, because again, we are not multiplayer guys. We're not competitive gaming guys. It's not something that we really do. And so I want to hear from some people that were here that saw this. Did you really enjoy this? Was it something that you wanted to see, that you looked forward to? One thing that happened during this thing was that GameSpot actually broke in after like 20 minutes. And they're like, yeah, enough of that. We're going to the post show. And so when that happens, I'm a little nervous about that. I mean, if they're like, yeah, that's enough, then you've probably gone too far.
Yeah.
And we should be back on Twitch, I hope.
Theoretically. Who knows at this point? Possibly.
But
I agree. It was awkward when GameSpot pulled out. It was like, we're going to talk because we think we're more interesting. So.
Yeah, I mean, and after 20 minutes, they should.
Yeah, they weren't wrong. So it was, still good games, which takes us now to Bethesda, who also had good games, but did a really good job, in our opinion, of doing the press conference as well, because it was short and to the point.
Right.
Bethesda's press conference was 45 minutes. EA's was an hour and a half, I think.
Right.
Like, that's a big difference, and they showed about the same amount of content. Bethesda just did it better, just showed it more to the point, just got there. And some complaints maybe about Bethesda. We were giving our boy Die Hard a hard time, who didn't enjoy the Bethesda conference as much as we did. We really enjoyed it. In part because there wasn't really anything new as far as new IPs go. Everything we saw was already existing properties. And a lot of it was stuff that's already out, but just in new ways. All that being said, it still looks super cool. Like, still pumped about it.
And it all looked, I mean, as far as stuff that I really want to play, that was all there. You know, it was all stuff that it's like, man, I gotta do that. I mean, we're talking about Dishonored, we're talking about Fallout 4. We're talking about Wolfenstein. I lost it there for a second.
Yeah.
The new Wolfenstein looks ridiculous.
It does look ridiculous.
Like, I must play that.
Yeah. Which is not something we think we would say about Wolfenstein. Like, Wolfenstein's cool, but it hasn't captured us for years. It's been a long, long time since there was a Wolfenstein that we're like, oh, man, we got to play that. This is it. This is the Wolfenstein we've got to play. So, we'll go through details of the conference. First of all, brilliant. They started a conference by showcasing cute kids whose parents work for Bethesda.
Yeah.
Which was just amazing. Cute kids you can't lose with.
Those kids were
awesome.
Great.
So, yeah, so way to go on starting with cute kids. And then they jumped into games. They had it all centered around the Bethesda Land thing, which they had put out this graphic already that's like a theme park, which they've been toying with the Fallout thing as well, and so it's all on brand here. But in the theme park, there's these little sections that are all dedicated to different games, and you can kind of tell what games each one is, but there were a few areas that were under construction that were the teases for the announcements, and so we saw what those were as well. So,
I liked it because we just before we turn on the mics here, we were watching the developer conference, and we'll probably talk about that on Patreon at some point today. But the thing that I loved about Bethesda was that there was absolutely zero fluff.
Yeah,
and I don't think people at GameSpot respected that as much as we did. I loved it because it was like, here's what we got.
Yeah.
Here's what we're doing. And that's it. There was one guy that came out on stage and was like, hey, let's get started.
Yeah.
That's it.
And then they showed us games, and they showed us good quality content of the games, both in like cinematic trailer style, but also in some gameplay stuff. And so you get both sides of it. And everything they showed off, and this is a big thing to say, everything that Bethesda showed off in this conference will be out this year.
Right.
There was no coming 2018 or coming.
And that's what they did last year.
They're just, hey, be excited about our games right now. The big thing last year was Fallout 4. They showed it off, and then it's like, and it's coming right now. Get ready. You know, not right now, but it's right around the corner, which is fantastic. I guess that was 2 years ago now. Whenever it was. That Fallout 4 happened. That's the way, I think, to get gamers excited about your stuff.
Well, look, every game that they showed, even people were talking about Doom and getting back into Doom, every game that they have, I want to play.
Yeah.
They were talking
with the exception of one, not because it doesn't look like a good game,
right,
but because it would scare
freaky.
The dickens out of me.
Yeah, that.
So let's talk through what they did. They started out with VR, which was kind of surprising because we haven't seen a lot of VR yet at E3 this year. They jumped right in with it and announced what will likely be the two best must-own VR, AAA VR titles.
We will own them.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Have to. So the first one is Doom coming to VR, which is terrifying, but should be awesome. It's not Doom VR, it's Doom VFR, like BFD or
right.
BFG.
Right.
So fill in the F there, if you will, which is kind of brilliant naming. Appreciate that from Doom. But it's Doom in VR. It's fast. It's crazy. It's gory. It's shooting demons. It's a lot of teleporting around the map and through enemies and that kind of stuff, like a melee kind of aspect of it in VR, which looks cool. and terrifying all at the same time. I'm really curious about the motion sickness side of that, if it's going to be just terrible to play because it's so fast.
Yeah.
Some games do that well in VR, some games don't. And so that's my one big question about Doom VR. But otherwise, yeah, looks great.
It does, absolutely.
And then we got Fallout VR as well, which we've seen Fallout VR already. This isn't new, but kind of the official announcement of the full game, which is going to be the full game and all the bells and whistles of Fallout.
Which, that's crazy to me.
Yeah.
And they were talking about, on GameSpot, they were talking about, they didn't know if they would be able to keep the headset on their faces that long.
Right.
And I'm kind of there. I don't know if you feel the same way, but I'm kind of like, I have maybe a half hour or an hour.
Yep.
And I have to go to something else.
Yep. Yeah, I can't do marathon sessions in VR. No chance. Like, I got to take breaks. But to be fair, when I play games normally, I take tons of breaks, as you well know.
Right.
So,
you do. You're like, every 5 minutes, okay, break.
Yeah, I'm just always doing multiple stuff. And one thing with VR is you can't multitask in VR. And so that, actually, when you sit down to play, you're going to play for a good little bit because you can't do anything else with the thing on your head. So it'll be good chunks. I desperately want to play Fallout in VR. I highly doubt I'll play the entire game again.
No.
But no. I've got to see
it. I'm going to play the entire game, but it ain't going to be in VR. I don't even want to do that. I want to see it. I want to, like, jump around. I want to see some of the stuff in my face. But that's it.
Yeah.
If I'm going to put 100 hours in Fallout, it's going to be on my monitor with my good sound and yeah.
Agreed. Yeah.
So.
For sure. However, still looks like a lot of fun to get in there in VR and just check it out and go explore the world.
The thing about Doom, we need to talk about Doom for a second, because Doom's a completely different ball of wax. Doom appears to be, instead of the entire game, it appears to be tailored.
Yeah.
And we're going to do certain things a certain way, and you're going to teleport around and do some things. I could see going all the way through that, because I don't think it's the Doom release from A to Z. I haven't played Doom yet. I know you played a little bit. Did you play more than the demo?
No.
I'm still looking at it going, I really feel like I need to get into that. It looks like it'd be a whole lot of fun. And the VR Doom release looks to me like something that you might play all the way through.
Yeah.
Because it's not, as far as I understand, it's not the full release.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, totally agree with that. Then we got Elder Scrolls, three announcements of Elder Scrolls, none of which were Elder Scrolls 6. So if you're hoping for that, it didn't happen. But we did get Elder Scrolls Online is going back to Morrowind, which we already knew, but they showed it off, and it's really pretty. So if you're playing Elder Scrolls Online, good for you. It looks awesome. We're not and probably won't, but we like the Elder Scrolls, so that's cool.
Yeah.
And then the trading card game, Elder Scrolls Legend, coming to mobile devices, also has Skyrim content coming.
Which, you know, if we ever get in that trading card game, it'll own us.
Yeah, it will.
That's it.
For sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And then lastly, Skyrim coming to the Switch, and it looks really good on the Switch. And also, you can play as Link.
Yeah.
Which is phenomenal. It's going to be one of the best Zelda games ever.
Yeah. So I have a question for you, because during the Bethesda show, you whipped out the Switch and put it up on the kickstand and played a track on Mario Kart 8. And we play Skyrim. I'm still playing Skyrim. It's not something that I'm really consistent about, but, you know, I think, Skyrim booted up and it's fabulous and it looks great. It's one of those things that I'll be playing for a while. I mean, it's not going off my system. So you played Skyrim, you beat Skyrim. You're not normally a guy that goes back and keeps roaming kind of the way I am. But do you feel like you have this mobile device in the Switch, which is awesome? I mean, we talked about in the Microsoft conference yesterday that like 90% of the games were like, yep, that can run on the Switch. Do you feel like because it's a mobile device, and we've talked about this on a previous show, I think, I don't want to purchase, I just lost it. I don't want to purchase Skyrim again.
Right.
But if you had to purchase it one place, would it be on Switch because it's mobile?
Oh, sure. Opposed to where I already own it on the PC. I don't
have right.
reason to buy it on another console. But on the Switch is a new thing, for sure, because you can take it with you. I would be interested in that. It's going to be one of the best games on the Switch, obviously, because Skyrim is a great game. And some of the added stuff may be enough to get me in. I wouldn't pay full price for it for a game that I've already played through a lot. I've spent so much time in Skyrim.
Right.
Like, that owned us. But it does. It also has motion controls. Like, it has, you can use the Joy-Cons for short sword and shield, kind of whatever stuff, which could be really fun, could be super cool. And so maybe super gimmicky, but at
or
least it's
not.
A gimmick that I want to play with. I want to try it and see how it goes. You
that
know?
That's my thing, if it's comfortable.
Sure. But if it's not, you could just play Skyrim with the controller. You know, like,
right.
It's wonderful because it's not dependent on that, which is kind of the brilliance of the Switch, how they kind of figured out how to make a traditional console and the Wii into one thing, and it also can go with you.
Like, well,
it's the conglomeration of everything Nintendo's been doing for the past 10 years or whatever into one console, which is pretty cool. I will likely play Skyrim. I'll likely get it from Gamefly. I probably won't buy it, but I'll likely play Skyrim on the Switch. Nothing else, just for the experience.
I'm going to laugh if you pick it up, and it's awesome to have it mobile, and you keep it for like 6 months
yeah.
from Gamefly, and then you're like, I'll just pick it up.
Right, which happens often. The one thing that they could do to get me that I might actually just say, screw it, I'm just going to buy it. If they make mods compatible with it, which they've done on the other consoles, Nintendo seems like a different beast, and so we'll see what happens.
You don't really have a lot of space there.
Right, yeah, you don't have a lot of storage on the Switch, and so there's a lot of issues with that potentially. But if the mod community is part of the Switch version of Skyrim, that would make me more apt to do it as well, because the mod community for Skyrim is phenomenal. So much cool stuff out there, so... I dig it. I'm looking forward to Skyrim on the Switch.
We have sexy Skyrim on both of our computers.
Yes.
And so we're used to sexy Skyrim. And I have to admit, what I've seen for Skyrim on the Switch, it's darn sexy.
It does look really good.
Yeah.
The Switch is a powerhouse little thing.
Yeah.
Like, seriously, what we were saying, a lot of what Microsoft showed off we think could run on the Switch. That wasn't a dig at the Switch. Like,
right.
Switch is a powerful little thing. It's impressive. We dig the thing. So.
Which that doesn't bode well for Microsoft with their 6 teraflop monster.
Right.
That they're like, yeah, like 90% of this, yeah, it'd run on Switch.
Right.
That bothers me a little bit.
Yeah.
And that's a huge reason why I don't want to give them $500.
Right. Yeah, give us something that justifies that. We also saw some Quake Champions. That's not a shock. We knew that was coming. More geared towards the esports side of things, but it looks like a fun, fast-paced shooter. I loved Quake back in the day. I loved Unreal Tournament. We've talked about that before a lot. That I like the fast-paced. The run and guns where I can be both like the person who dies the most and gets the most kills and ends up with like a net zero score.
Right.
Like that's kind of how I play those games. It's just chaos and craziness. Quake is a game that lets you do that, not obviously on like a high competitive level I would get owned, but in a fun like random deathmatch thing, it's fun and the matches are quick, and yeah, I want to pick up Quake Champions just to play it some, because it's sexy and fast.
We've talked about that we need to go to E3, right? We talked about that for years. The other thing that we need to do is go to QuakeCon.
Yeah, like, which is in Dallas.
Right.
Which is cool.
It's
so.
In Dallas every year, and I don't know why, because I would be the biggest loser there. Like, all these people, all they do is play Quake all the all the time. You know, it's not like I'm going to sit down and play, but it would be a blast to watch. I mean, it just looks like the biggest circus ever.
Yeah, for sure.
So,
yeah, I suck at it, but it would be a blast to watch. So, and then we got to one of the big announcements, which was the new Evil Within, the Evil Within 2, which is terrifying.
Yeah.
The scariest looking thing I've ever seen.
And apparently, one of the women that worked for GameSpot is really into the Evil Within.
Yeah,
and I was like, man, that's kind of sexy, but it's also kind of weird.
Yep. Not my thing, but the trailer looks really cool. Like they did a really good job with this trailer. Like it's sleek, it's mind bending, it's weird. I don't understand it. I didn't play the Evil Within 1, obviously. And I'm not going to play this one. Like, I'm really not into horror games. I had a good friend when I was younger that was, and we played them together, and he loved them, and I was like, no. And now when I'm an adult, I choose not to play them. So
well,
I'm just not that into them.
And see, I haven't played them because I'm afraid that if I start, I will get into it, because I was way into Resident Evil back in the day. And
this is a good question. I think that something like this is different than Resident Evil. I think that, and I haven't played Evil Within, so I don't know, but this is my kind of projecting on it. It feels more like Silent Hill to me, right?
But I loved Silent Hill back in the day, too. I mean, like,
but those are kind of two different worlds of horror games, where Resident Evil is like zombies that jump out at you every once in a while. Like, Silent Hill is like, give you nightmares, like
we're
screw with your head
up.
Stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. That stuff I'm just not into, really.
See, I loved Silent Hill back in the day, and so I haven't played it for years and years and years. I haven't played it since like Silent Hill 2.
Sure.
I really loved it. And so part of the reason I don't touch this is I don't need that in my house.
Yeah.
Like I got people running around and like I don't need it, and I'm afraid if I get started I'll get sucked in and yeah
which is totally fair. I hear that for sure. It looks really cool. Even if I'm not gonna play it, I can admit it looks really cool. Like, good for them on having what appears to be the big horror title out right now, or coming out, like the big horror title people are looking forward to.
Yep.
So, and then lastly, we got New Wolfenstein, which is also, we kind of expected it would be part of the Bethesda presser. We weren't expecting to dig it as much as we do, because we really dig it. And so when they started showing it off, we weren't actually sure what it was.
Right.
Because it had a very Fallout vibe to
it
at first.
It does.
And so we were talking and we were like, is this Fallout DLC? Is it like a big new announcement and whatever? And it actually took us quite a while to figure out that it wasn't Fallout when Nazis show up. Once you get Nazis, you're like, oh, wow, this isn't Fallout. And it pretty quickly becomes obvious that it's Wolfenstein. The trailer's worth watching. It's like 8 minutes long that they showed off. It's weird. It has some live action stuff that's kind of cheesy but also really entertaining, and then it has a lot of gameplay stuff as well, and it's I don't know, they did a really good job with it, not only selling me on the concept of the game but selling me on the game looks fun to play.
I think the Fallout vibe is what got me.
Yeah, that's a big part of it for sure.
The Fallout vibe, I'm like, that's awesome. And it's all through it. It's like you're watching it, you're like, okay, am I in Fallout or am I in something else? And then it goes on for a little while and you're okay, like, not Fallout. And then it goes on for a couple more minutes and you're like, wait, Fallout?
Right. Like, oh, we're in a vault. So, it messed with you for a while. And I'm sure if we were savvier about Wolfenstein, we would have recognized it a lot quicker. But I haven't played Wolfenstein. I think I played a little bit of one Wolfenstein game other than Wolfenstein 3D. Obviously, we played Wolfenstein 3D 20 years ago, 25 years, whatever.
I played one of the new ones, like when they originally rebooted it, and it was all right. This looks like a whole other level.
Yeah, this looks legit good. Like, and I say that with this weird, kind of like I've judged Wolfenstein for quite a while as being a kind of B-rate game, you know, like
right.
it was like, oh cool, Wolfenstein, but I've got other stuff to play.
It's kind of like a B movie. I mean, it was written like a B movie. This, not so much.
Doesn't feel that way for sure. And one of the things that the commentators from, I think it was IGN that we were watching, whoever it was,
right,
that was talking about after the fact, was that in the past, Wolfenstein's always kind of felt closely associated with Doom. Even the original, like Doom and Wolfenstein 3D, they looked very similar to each other. They felt very similar to each other. You're killing demons in one and Nazis in the other. But yeah, obviously there were differences, but they had a very similar vibe. And that they've always kind of held a similar vibe. And they talked about how Bethesda really needed to get Wolfenstein some separation between it and Doom, and so it feels like it's more Fallout-ish than Doom, but in this first-person shooter world that's plays maybe more like Doom plays.
Right.
Which is a good pairing, if you ask me, the gameplay of Doom and the kind of feel of Fallout.
I get super excited because most of what you see in the trailer is dual-wielding. Like, he's got guns in both hands.
Yeah.
You're moving around, and I'm like, man, that'd be awesome.
Yeah, for sure. On this, too, have you watched The Man in the High Castle?
I have. I've read the book.
Yeah.
And I've seen, like, 2 episodes of the Amazon series. I need to get back to it.
Yeah. I really enjoyed the Sexy Sidekick, and I watched through it. And it's dark, and you know, it's Nazis and whatever.
Right.
But it this gives me that vibe, too, of kind of
yeah,
alternate reality Nazism.
I don't know if we're actually on Twitch, but we're actually watching a part where Nazis, like...
Orders a strawberry milkshake.
Right. And that's very Man in a High Castle,
yes.
where they're all kind of walking around, and everybody kind of caters to them.
Like it's super normal.
Because they don't want to die.
Right.
You know? And that was what I kind of liked about The Man in the High Castle. It's like, how are we going to figure out how to get out of this? And there's resistance and all of that.
Yep.
And that's the whole point with Wolfenstein. That's like, they're trying to figure out how to get around this. And BJ is back. And BJ is going to kick the door in and take everybody out. And so, yeah, it's a very Man in the High Castle kind of a vibe.
Yeah, which is awesome because Man in the High Castle is cool. And like you said, it feels like it's going to have a better story. Like, it feels like it's going to be deep and rich and have some fun stuff going on. And I dig it. I'm pumped about Wolfenstein, which is not something I was expecting to say at
E3. Well, it's not just Wolfenstein. It's... Like I said, it's everything they showed off.
Yeah.
It's like, I want to play everything Bethesda, and I'm upset that I haven't played Fallout yet. Upset that I haven't played Dishonored 2.
Yep.
I want to play Wolfenstein.
Yeah, we skipped over that. There's new Dishonored 2 content coming as well.
Yeah.
Which looks cool. I mean, Dishonored 2 looks cool. That's the... When is the Steam Summer Sale starting? Because I haven't seen anything about it yet.
I think probably...
Assuming that it's... Next week,
yeah,
or starts the end of this, whenever it starts, that's one I want to see. If they discount that decently, I'll pick it up.
Yeah,
maybe more than anything else, Dishonored 2 is a game that I haven't played yet that I need to. And
I gotta find some money somewhere, but
right.
I agree. It's Dishonored was one of those that we thoroughly enjoyed. We both played through. I will play through Dishonored 2. And after seeing the DLC, I didn't play any DLC for the original. Apparently, the DLC for the original was really good. After seeing this, I think I'll probably pick up the DLC for Dishonored 2.
Yeah.
Yeah. It to me, it's one of those franchises that really just kind of snuck up and it's like, yeah, I'm here and I'm here to stay.
Yeah.
So.
And I'm really cool and you guys are going to love me. And we do. So. Good job, yeah. Bethesda, on that. So that was EA and Bethesda, both of which we got a lot of really good games out of.
one conference we thought was presented well, one conference not presented as well. That's ancillary. Like, we like talking about that kind of insider shop talk stuff. But at the end of the day, this is all about what games you get out of it. And so games that I'm looking forward to, Madden, surprisingly, Wolfenstein, surprisingly, right? Like Madden and Wolfenstein being two games I'm excited about. Battlefield, Battlefront, the Doom and Fallout in VR, Way Out, which is this whole new thing. Like,
right.
That's a lot of titles we got in those two press conferences that I'm legit pumped about.
It's a lot of titles. And if we get through today, because today is a big, big day, we got a lot of stuff going on today. If we get through today and it's no better than Saturday and yesterday was, I'm still going to feel good about E3 because of these two conferences. Like I said, EA wasn't as impressed with, because that it looked to me like with the 30 minutes of Battlefront, they were like, yeah, we're out of stuff, so here's a half-hour Battlefront. But other than that, I feel really good about what's coming out from EA and Bethesda. Not so good about what's coming out from Microsoft. The Microsoft show is up, so
yeah.
Some of you guys may have listened to that. I don't feel good about that at all.
The best thing that we saw on Microsoft is coming to the PlayStation 4 and the PC.
Right.
So the best thing that they could have sold us on is an exclusive.
Right.
So, yeah. We sound like such haters. We want it to be sold on it.
We do. I want to buy one. I want to buy one. Give me a reason to buy one.
They just haven't yet. So, yeah, all that being said, we should wrap up so we can get food and then watch the PC Gaming Show, which starts in about an hour. And
dude,
so,
it's time for food. I'm
it's
hungry.
Time for food. So we'll be live tweeting that and then everything else as well. Plus, all the ways you can get a hold of us, gaminguncensored.com is the website, at podcastgu on Twitter. Follow us on Facebook, gaminguncensored@gmail.com. For the email, and then 509-GAME-210 is the voicemail line. So if you want to get a hold of us, you could get a hold
of
us.
We're everywhere.
We're everywhere at
this
point.
Some of you actually have my number, so you can
right.
text
Right, you can even text Jamie directly.
Yeah.
So, good times. And go by the Twitter page again. The Twitter is our newest thing, launching that around E3. And
how
so,
many followers we have right now?
20-something. Yeah.
Wow.
So we're making some progress
on
Twitter, which is nice. And so, come hang out with us on Twitter and interact with us there, which is fun. And so, go by gaminguncensored.com. If you like what we do, click on the Patreon link and consider supporting us there. We're putting content up. We put a video up already. We're going to put some more videos up there that are hopefully entertaining and fun and just for Patreon guys. And so a fun little bonus for you guys that have been supporting us, as this is the 1-year anniversary of us starting the Patreon page. But also for new people, if you want to get involved with the Patreon, that's a really good way to do it and get some content.
It's been a year.
I know, it's nuts.
Holy cow.
It's awesome, and we love you guys that have been supporting us on Patreon so much. It's awesome. And so, by the way, let me, because we say we do this during all of our normal shows, we don't do it as much during E4, but due to shout-outs for all of our Patreon guys, Cabbage, Jose, Narc, Duff, Josh, Hector, Spider, Spencer, and Kavash, thank you guys for supporting us over there. We appreciate it a ton. Anybody else that wants to come support us, we will happily take your money and put it back into gaming stuff so we can talk about it more.
Did we mention we need two copies?
Or buy
of
pizza?
Hey, well, yeah.
which we bought pizza with your money, and we appreciate that.
We might actually buy alcohol too.
Right. So whatever we gotta get done, we're gonna get done. We appreciate you guys for helping us out with that. So
it's a blast. We're having fun. This is the biggest media day of E3. I'm excited because we're going to be on the air a lot. And we're going to have lots of cool stuff to talk about. So we're going to be back very, very shortly with another conference. So we'll see you guys a little later today. We hope you are enjoying it. Right now, I'm Jamie. That's Tommy. We are Gaming Uncensored. It is Gaming Uncensored's continuing coverage of E3 2017. And we are out.